life is too important to be taken seriously.
Das Leben ist zu wichtig, um es ernst zu nehmen. Nach dieser Philosophie lebt mein heutiger Interviewgast Riccardo Vitalone. Und so viel mag ich dir schon jetzt verraten, er tut es mit so viel Lebensfreude, dass es ansteckend ist. Riccardo ist mein Nachbar hier in der Casa Verde Community in Santa Teresa, wo Andrea und ich im vergangenen Jahr einige Monate verbracht haben, immer mal wieder hier waren. Wir sind immer mal wieder gemeinsam am Swimmingpool gesessen. Ich habe ihn beobachtet, wie er vor unserem Apartment sitzt und Gitarre spielt, wie er mit anderen am Jammen ist und seine Musik mit so viel Herz und so viel Seele teilt. Und ich freue mich sehr, dass du Roman, so Riccardos Künstlername, heute kennenlernen kannst, hier in der 88. Folge von 1000 First Steps, deinem Podcast für das Größte in dir. Mein Name ist Jakob Horvat und ich habe Riccardos Spirit und die Weisheit, die er mit seiner Musik transportiert, in vielen Gesprächen hier in Costa Rica kennen und spüren lernen dürfen und mir immer wieder gedacht, das ist einfach viel zu inspirierend, als dass ich es jetzt nicht mit dir in diesem Podcast teilen wollte. Riccardo wurde in Rom geboren, daher auch sein Künstlername, Roman, was für Roaming Roman steht, der wandernde Römer. Mit 19 Jahren ist Roman zum ersten Mal eine Gitarre buchstäblich in die Hände gefallen. Er hat sich in die Musik verliebt und schreibt längst schon seine eigenen Songs. Für ihn bedeutet Musik unter anderem, einen Raum zu öffnen, in dem sich Menschen begegnen und miteinander das Leben feiern können. Diesen Raum habe ich hier in Santa Teresa bei Open Mic Sessions in Restaurants erlebt, bei Live-Shows von Riccardo und bei Sunset Sessions am Strand. Wir sprechen im Interview über seinen früheren Job, der sich zwar leicht angefühlt hat und gut bezahlt war, ihn aber nicht erfüllt hat, und wie ihn dieser Weg hin zur Verwirklichung seines großen Traums geführt hat, von seiner Musik leben zu können. Er erzählt von den vielen Schwierigkeiten und Situationen, die er eigentlich anders geplant hatte, die er eigentlich gerne anders gehabt hätte und ja, von denen er sich dann doch nie von seinem Pfad abbringen hat lassen. Jeder Rückschlag hat Riccardo als wertvolles Learning gedient, um weiterzukommen, und mit 26 Jahren ist er dann all in gegangen und hat den Schritt gewagt, sich jetzt voll und ganz der Musik zu widmen. Er erzählt uns von seiner Zeit, vom Nomadenleben in Europa, wie er als Straßenmusiker in London seinen Lebensunterhalt verdient hat, vom Leben am Strand in Teneriffa und wie er nach einiger Zeit in Kalifornien letztendlich in Costa Rica gelandet ist.
And it might not be forever all the time, but to know that this is possible in itself, yeah, once you try it and you realize I don't need much more, then I think happiness comes from simplifying a lot.
Riccardo teilt seine Gedanken über das Vertrauen in den Fluss des Lebens, wie du dir die Realität deiner Träume erschaffen kannst, indem du ihr jeden Tag die Bedeutung gibst, die sich für dein Herz richtig anfühlt. Als besonderes Geschenk spielt er uns in dieser Episode einen seiner Songs vor, und rate mal, was der Titel ist. Stay Open to Life. Romans Musik findest du unter anderem auf Spotify. Die Links dazu stelle ich dir natürlich in die Shownotes. Lass mir auf Instagram unter @jakob.horvat gerne deine Gedanken zu dieser Folge da und schreib mir, was du dir aus diesem Gespräch mitnimmst. Das würde mich sehr, sehr freuen. Wenn dich das Interview inspiriert, teile es doch auch mit deinen Freunden und Bekannten, zum Beispiel als Instagram-Story, wo du auch Roman Music und mich natürlich sehr gerne verlinken kannst. Und ich habe auch noch ein Gewinnspiel für euch. Wenn 1000 First Steps dein Leben auf irgendeine Art und Weise bereichert und in der Vergangenheit bereichert hat, dann schreib mir doch bitte eine 5-Sterne-Rezension auf iTunes und teile mit uns und mit allen anderen, die das lesen, was der Podcast in deinem Leben schon bewirkt hat. Das hilft uns sehr, den Podcast noch mehr Menschen zugänglich zu machen, ja, und diese Menschen zu inspirieren, das Größte in sich selbst zu entdecken und zu entfalten und mit der Welt zu teilen und in ihre Kraft zu kommen und das Leben ihrer Träume zu gestalten und zu erschaffen. Weil ich glaube, das ist das, was wir alle im Herzen so wirklich wollen. Freude am Leben haben und diese Freude mit anderen Menschen teilen. Dafür steht dieser Podcast, dafür gehe ich los mit meiner Arbeit, und du kannst mir so sehr dabei helfen, wenn du mir eine Rezension schreibst und diesen Podcast mit anderen Menschen teilst. Unter allen Rezensionen auf iTunes verlose ich eine One-on-One-Coaching-Session mit mir, in der wir uns voll und ganz einem Thema widmen, das dir gerade am Herzen liegt. Um teilzunehmen, poste einfach einen Screenshot von deiner Rezension auf Instagram, markiere mich @jakob.horvath oder alternativ dazu, falls du Instagram nicht verwendest, kannst du mir deine Rezension, den Screenshot davon, gerne auch per Mail schicken an mail@jakobhorvath.com. Ich freue mich, von dir zu lesen, und jetzt ist es Zeit, das Mikrofon zu übergeben an Riccardo Vitalone. Lass uns gemeinsam eintauchen in sein abenteuerliches Leben und die wunderbaren Erfahrungen, die ihm seine Lebensphilosophie geschenkt hat. Ich wünsche dir viel Freude mit dem Interview. Riccardo Vitalone, yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Nice to be here.
It's so good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Oh yeah, and I'm glad we found a place to make it happen.
Yeah.
Here in Casa Verde, which is where we both live. You are my dear neighbor, which makes it even more special. Mm-hmm. It's such a beauty to be around you, I feel. You know, there is so much lightheartedness I feel in the way you are, in the way you talk, in your music. You're a musician.
Yeah.
And you do that with a lot of passion.
Yeah. I try.
A lot of joy. And so thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. Really, thank you for having me. We've been trying for a few months now.
Right? Yeah.
Before you went down south. So it's been a few months in the making.
Yeah. Now we made it happen here in my little apartment. It's way too hot to make an interview, actually.
It's a little hot, but we'll make it happen.
In case we hear some water gulps
anything
in between. Riccardo, your music. Maybe we start with that, because I feel this is a very big part of you, big part of your being, and a big part of you expressing yourself. Mm. What does that music mean to you in your life?
We're starting with the easy questions.
Starting with the very easy questions.
What does music mean to me in my life? In one way, music has become everything. Because that's like from in the morning when I wake up until the evening. If I'm not organizing a show, I'm writing a song. And if I'm not writing, I'm thinking about it. And if I'm not thinking about it, I'm listening to something. So music has become everything, and the more I fully devote myself to it with fearlessness, you know, like diving in and remembering to have fun with it, then the more it connects me to the right people at the right time, the more, you know, songs keep coming through that are as much an expression of how I feel as they are a reminder for someone else, because we're all going through the same stuff. So the more honest I can be about what I'm going through and how I feel, the hopefully someone else will resonate with it, and then the music can be uplifting or comforting or encouraging or inspiring for other people. And then we meet in that space where it's just us. And so once I started making music and I saw the power that it had on me first and then on others to create this beautiful ripples of change and moments of community, then there wasn't really anything else to do but keep doing that.
Wow. Good answer for a very easy question. How did it all start? I mean, reading your bio on your website and also in our conversations, the things you share, you've started quite late with it, right? How did you even get in touch with your guitar?
Yeah, I started when I was 19 and a half. I had always been intrigued by guitars, as I think most people are. When you see someone playing guitar, it's always, you know, there's something magical about it.
Very attractive.
Yeah. And I had two friends growing up, like middle school and high school, that were guitarists and musicians. So I was around it a little bit. But I was always played basketball since I was a 3 or 4. Basketball was my passion. And then it happened kind of by chance where I I knew I didn't want to go to university. I tried one university for one semester in Italy and dropped out almost immediately. And then I had a summer where I was completely free and I didn't know what I was doing. I think it was summer 2008, May 2008.
How old were you?
I think 19 and a half. I was going to be 20 in December. And because I had all the time, I called my friend Nicolo and I said, in Rome, and I said, do you have a guitar? He goes, I might try and see what happens. And then he gave me this old classical guitar that I think it had like holes in it. It was like one of those really cheap, had been stored away, like dusty. And I just started. And then as soon as I got two or three chords down, and you get the sense of like, oh, I think I'm playing guitar now. Then I became kind of obsessed. Like as I was obsessed with basketball before, then it was all about music. And then I kind of kept doing it for myself because I enjoyed it. I had no dreams of like being a musician, or I just enjoyed doing it on my own. And then I started writing songs for a girl that I was seeing at the time that I met after a few months. And so I only started because I wanted to write songs for the girl that I was seeing at the time. And I wrote 10 songs in like a couple months. And people seemed to like it. And then it just kept doing it and kept doing it. And then after the love songs, I started talking about some other stuff that I was feeling, maybe a little more political, or the more I was going down, you know, some journey of healing and self-discovery, I would talk about that. And then it became what it is now. But it, yeah, there was no plan, no dream, no aspiration. There's no musicians in my family. I mean, some people play piano, but I think one cousin is a musician, but so it wasn't like I grew up around singers. No, it just kind of happened, and then I realized I loved it and I wasn't bad at it.
And that is something one can really feel, at least I can, and many others who join you at the open mics, who join you at different events here in Santa Teresa. There is so much, I feel so much joy coming from you when you play. You know, the songs you play, the way you, I don't know, the way you hold your guitar even. I don't know. It's special. I really enjoy that. So that, how did that even evolve? Like you were back in Rome, you're from Italy, so Rome was your hometown. And then what? Then you had your guitar and you were writing your love songs and you discovered some gift in yourself, some talent and some passion.
Yeah, I was, so until, so 2008 when I started, until 2012, I was in Italy. Let me put this. And maybe I played like an open mic or like a talent show at my university. I was jamming with my friends. But then, again, the more I did it, the more I loved it. And there wasn't anything else that I wanted to do. Meaning like, oh, I really want to be a doctor or an architect. Or there wasn't a clear path. And music was connecting me with people. And I learned on YouTube. So I would watch videos of musicians. And every now and then I would stumble on these videos of like them on tour or like behind the scenes. And it just looked so fun and so free. And I worked for a year in London, in Rome after I graduated from university. I went to an American university in Rome. They offered me an internship. I worked there for a year. I was doing good money. It was easy, but I was not fulfilled at all. And so I said, let me go to London and see what happens if I try to devote myself to music even a little bit, because I wasn't doing much in Rome because I was working another job. So it was kind of like one of those moments of I'm going to quit my job and take my 300 euros and go to London because I have one friend who said he has a couch for me. And that's how it started.
And London, because London is the capital. If you want to make it as a singer-songwriter in Europe.
In Europe, the only place was London that I knew of. And so my friend said, yeah, come, a friend for university. And I went and I had a minor panic attack on the first day. I moved to London on April 3rd, 2013. On April 4th, I woke up and it was snowing and I realized I don't know anybody. I don't have even enough money. Nobody knows I'm here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I just panicked. And, and then I just stayed and I started walking around talking to people. I met street performers because busking, what it's called there, or street performing is huge in London. One of my first friends, who's now still a really good friend, Naomi, she was busking in Camden Town. I was like, wow, she's really good. So it's almost as if there was this breadcrumb of, no, what do you call it? Like, when you leave, like, a thing.
Yeah, breadcrumbs, where you, like, yeah, follow, like, the breadcrumbs. And,
uh-huh. It's almost as if I was following all these little breadcrumbs, and then this friend, I started busking because I saw her busking. I did it a couple times in Rome, but I had no amp or speaker. I was just trying to...
So busking is you just literally show up at a place, put up your amp, your guitar, start playing, yeah, and whoever comes along puts right. money in your
Camden,
guitar.
Camden Town in London is a very popular place. Lots of tourists, lots of hippies and punks. And so it was a perfect spot to play. And at first, I didn't even have a amplification. Uh-huh. So I was like really strumming on my strings, and sometimes I would, like, my fingers would bleed, and I would have no voice because I was shouting. Uh-huh. But through street performing and busking, it became my school. Partially because of necessity, because that was the only job I had for a while. Mm-hmm. Partially because I could see how much I was improving my singing skills, playing skills, performing skills, like knowing how to capture the audience. Because we're in the street.
Yeah.
No one owes you anything. Mm-hmm. If they don't like what you're doing, they'll pass you and they'll ignore you. Mm-hmm. So then when someone does look at you, it's like, oh, wait, that works. Or that thing.
Uh-huh.
So again, very gradually, I told my parents when I went to London, I'm just going to go for the summer and see what happens. And then I stayed there for 3 years. And it completely changed my life from, a little bit shy and insecure musician that had just started.
Yeah.
Through a lot of performances and street performing and experience and shitty gigs and pubs where they would have the game on while I'm playing and they give you a pint as a payment, like all that, which is, you know, every artist in their own field goes through in some way, or any creative. Then I met my tribe, I met my friends, there was such a supportive community. And then I knew I had to keep doing it because, like, what else am I going to do? This nothing makes me this happy, and nothing has such a positive impact out of the things that I can do.
Yes.
And then it just, yeah.
Became, so you were literally following the joy, following the bliss. You felt it, and you just kept going, didn't know where to go, what to do, but you knew this is your thing.
Yeah, so I didn't even have, I'm going to change the world with my music. No, I literally just kept playing because I enjoyed it. And then I met Sam Garrett, my dear friend, and other friends, and they were all kind of on the same boat. Mm-hmm. Then it became like, hey, I feel this. And I started talking about all these other things. And for the first time coming from Rome, my friends were saying, hey, yeah, I feel that too. Because for a long time in Rome and in Italy, I felt a bit like not fully maybe understood or a bit out of place. And then meeting, like, the community made all the difference because people were so supportive. They would come to these little open mics where we could maybe sit like 30 people, and people just kept coming, and it grew. And then we put together a collective with some friends and we started doing bigger shows, but truly it was following the joy and seeing what can I do with my talents that, is more than me making money. And I was also very lucky to be around many musicians that I was very inspired by. Mm. And so you see the potential. Like, it's more than a gig, you know? It's bringing people together. It's more than a song. It's reminding someone that they're not alone. Like, there's so much more. Mm-hmm. It kind of just happened.
It's opening up a space of possibilities, I can imagine, right? Yeah. You see what is possible through the inspiration of other people.
Right.
And that holds true for so many different endeavors, right? Not just music, but if you have your tribe, if you connect to the right people.
Totally.
And they really kind of pull you into a certain direction.
Yeah. You could be anything. You could be a chef, a painter, whatever your thing is, to be seen and appreciated and acknowledged. And making people smile is kind of addictive, you know? So when you're on stage and you, even if it's like a little joke or a song that makes someone cry, or at the end, someone, even one person come in and say, hey, that song really touched me. Mm. That keeps you going for the next month.
Mm, beautiful. And how do you deal with rejections? Because when I see, like, I imagine you, I picture you standing on the street, busking in Camden Town, so many different artists, so many different musicians. You say nobody owes you anything. People just pass by, don't even look at you, let alone give you money
right.
or whatever. How do you deal with I can imagine it's also pretty frustrating. What kind of coping strategy did you come up with to not let that so close to you?
So I already had some experience with being with people and being some type of entertainer, because when I was in university, I worked. It's called the work study program. So I would work and in exchange they would detract from my tuition fee. And I worked in the student services office, and I was dealing with all the extracurricular activities. I was one of the student ambassadors when new students came. So basically I was around people all the time anyway. And so I already had some good people skills, which helped when I was street performing. But not gonna lie, like the first, for a while, it sucked, because you don't have a coping strategy. Mm. You just go out there and you hope that it's gonna work. And many days it doesn't. You make no money. It starts raining. Someone with a louder speaker is right next to you. Someone living on a boat in the canal comes up and say, "Hey, I'm trying to take a nap. Can you move?" Someone stole my money. The songs I was playing were not working. That is real. And I think the only difference was that, honestly, if you make one person smile, like if you have a genuine moment of connection, that already is a huge boost. Mm. And then you just learn this. Like at some point I was like, okay, these three songs work. And I was just singing those three songs over and over and over because they were working.
And hoping that people don't stay for longer than three songs.
Right. That's right. So, oops.
Sorry.
Oops, the bottle fell.
Bottle fell. My bad.
Don't worry.
Your skin gets a little thicker the more you do it. But I remember many times I would like stop busking because I'd be like, this is not working. No one's giving me any money. Like, fuck it. I'm just going to go lay in the park. Yeah. Like, I remember really clearly that sense of maybe this is not working. But that's why whatever it is that you do, creative person, like, you have to choose someone that you're truly passionate about, because you will have so much of disappointment, rejection, doubts, fears. And if you're not, like, really... If you don't love it, it's so easy to just... I know many people that were like, it's not for me, I'm moving back home... I'm still going to do it on the side, which is completely fair, fair. But yeah, to answer your question, over time, I just got better.
Yeah.
And skin gets a little thicker, and then you start doing it with friends, maybe, you know? So even if it doesn't go as you wish, you can just have a laugh and go get a beer, and it's not that bad.
When was the point in your life when you decided you want to go all in with music? You want to make this your main profession. You want to live off of that, actually, and not do anything else.
It was, I don't know if it was winter of 2014 or beginning of 2015, when I was in Tenerife in the Canary Islands in Europe. I'd been living in London now for 2-something years, 2013, 2014, and we left London in the winter to go stay on our friend's banana plantation. Our friend has her family has a huge banana plantation. Shout out to Eva. She said, "What are you doing in London? It's cold and miserable. Come here." So me and my friend Georgia and my partner at the time, Gabby, went to Tenerife, fell in love, and told everybody in London, like, you should come here. And over a period of 4 months, the first time, 27 people came. At some point, there was 16 of us living in a 2-bedroom apartment with just mattresses everywhere, because everybody was there. And seeing a possibility of how joyful life can be with community and music every day. And that time, it was a very special time, because many songs came. I wrote a whole EP in Tenerife. Many of my favorite songs came from that place. And it was just a sense of, I think I can do it. Like, I think I can actually do it. And then that was, I think beginning of 2015 when I said, let's see what happens if I go all in. And for a while, I didn't have a job, because for about 2 years, I worked part-time in a vegan cafe in London, which also had a huge impact, because there was also small stage. And we would do open mics and music every week. But then, yeah, I quit that job and I went all in, and it was hard for a while. And I still would occasionally work a part-time job depending on where I am. If I'm in a big city and I need to make a little more, I have nothing against doing a little something on the side. But beginning of 2015, I was already doing it, but not all in. Mm-hmm. I was still kind of holding on to the shore, you know?
So you were 26 by that time. If I calculated that, 33 now, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
26.
I trust your math, yeah.
Yeah, I trust it too.
I think 25, 26 is when I was like, let's do it. And but I was lucky because I felt like I wasn't alone. I had a whole like tribe.
Yeah.
And we were doing it together. Yeah. And it made sense. Like, hey, let's just see what happens if we keep doing it. Because the shows are going well. The songs keep coming. People seem to enjoy what we do. Yeah. We love it. It was the most obvious, next step.
Yeah. And it's a good story too, like having how many 27 people living in a 2-bedroom apartment. I picture like mats all over the place and this the very simple life.
Yeah.
But you had the two most important things in your life, right? That's community and that's music.
Yeah, completely.
If I'm not mistaken, completely. I think those are the two very basics of your life.
And I remember the first time we went to Tenerife, because we went back the next year. For a while in the beginning, we are really like in awe of this life. But I remember that I kept saying, when we go back to real life in London, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then I kept saying it. And then one day I thought, wait, why is London real life? Because this feels pretty real too. Mm-hmm. It's unusual. And we're not used to life being like, we're not used to be. And this is really sad, but generally speaking, to just be happy. Mm-hmm. There needs to be something. And then experiencing like, wow, this is really peaceful, really joyful, really simple. I don't need much. I need community, good food, nature, and music. Mm. I think, and some sort of shelter. So then it changed in my mind. London is not more real life than if I choose to live on a beach for a while, you know? And then I realized it's a choice. I don't have to follow what I think is the path because everybody's doing it that way. Mm. And that started a really beautiful journey of trying all the alternative ways of living, which eventually led me here.
Can you invite us a little bit on that journey that you embarked on after that realization that life in London is not more real than the life in Tenerife, living with a bunch of hippies playing music all day?
Right.
Both is real. You have made your choice and it sent you out in the world, right?
Yeah.
You started like seeing many different places. Can you invite us on that journey a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Where have you been? What have been your highlights?
So this is 2000, beginning of 2015, even though I knew that London wasn't necessarily the place where I wanted to live, it's still where I had most of my community and where the music was going really well. So I lived in a commune for about 10 months. It's called a squat in Europe or in London. It's an abandoned building that you move into and you kind of make it your home. And it was a beautiful place. Greenhouse, plant nursery, so it was a lot of green all around. I lived that for a while, then I kind of built my own makeshift kind of like shack outside in the garden because it was too hot inside. So I lived in this little wooden house with my partner at the time for a while. Then I moved on a boat, a canal boat for a little while, then back in Tenerife where we stayed on the banana plantation and we just lived on the beach for a while. And then I knew I had to leave London, so I went to California. So I was based in Venice. This is end of 2016. I was based in Venice at a friend's house. Then I bought a station wagon and I just traveled up and down. And I was sleeping in the trunk for a few months. And then I met another woman that it was one of those moments where I was like, all right, my life is changing now. I'm going to move to California because she's here. And so then I was back and forth between Italy and California over a period of 3 years. She would come see me and I would go see her. And it was a lot of just, if I was in Italy, I would stay with my family and I would do street performing in the summer because it was really good in Rome. I would save everything and then go travel. Mm-hmm. If not, I was with her in either California or road tripping around the States. Between 2000, 2014 and 2020, when the lockdowns happened, the longest period I spent sleeping in the same bed was, I think, 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. And some we were not even beds, but like, yeah, a station wagon or a van. So there was this kind of nomadic life, which was incredible and also very challenging, because to feel like you don't have roots is not always easy.
Right, I can relate.
You lose a lot of things. Mm. You're always moving around.
Yeah.
And then after I broke up with that partner, I moved back to London, where I was like, okay, I'm going to buckle down. This is it. Let's try again. And London was very different by that point. Many of my friends had left, and then COVID happened. Mm. And that kind of like everything stopped for a year. And then as soon as I could get out, I came to Costa Rica. And then, yeah, other things happened. But long story short, then I ended up here. And now this feels like a good place to make a home, or at least a home base.
At least a home base. Is that the first time you feel at home in a very long time?
I felt at home in London, not as far as, because I didn't have my own space, but I felt at home with the people. Mm. I had that sense of at least belonging. And then I felt it again in California. But it was really hard because I was desperate to move to California, partially because of my relationship and partially because I just loved it. And everybody was like, yo, your music, your vibe in California would be amazing. And I tried to start the process to live there. And just doors kept just being slammed in my face. It was just so hard because either I didn't have enough credentials for an artist visa, or maybe with my partner at the time, we were down or we thought about potentially getting married so that we could be together, because we had been already together for almost 3 years. But then even that didn't feel like super flowy, and it just felt like something was just not working. And it was really hard because I really wanted to live in California to a point that it was almost an obsession. And obsessions are not good. So then when that relationship ended and I was crushed, and then London, Italy, but all makes sense now looking back. Like really looking back now that I am where I am and I feel how I feel, like everything made so much sense. Mm. And I'm really excited to see what happens after this.
Yeah. It's so often when you connect the dots backwards and you start realizing so many of the challenges and the frustrations and the uncertainties and fears and not knowing where to go next and what you're even doing there, suddenly starts to make perfect sense.
Yeah, that had to happen for that to happen, for me to learn that lesson, for me to write that song, for me to... Yeah, it's powerful looking back. When you have some perspective, you can really appreciate... Yeah. Not to sound like hippie or not, but you really appreciate every step, every moment. But you have to feel good about where you are. It's hard to do it if you don't feel good about where you are. Because then it feels like there's been a mistake. Why did I end up here and I'm not happy?
And what has helped you with that?
With being happy?
With feeling good in your own skin, feeling good about the life that you live right now.
Well, I think just the fact that I'm a little bit older and a little less foolish. Mm. I'm still a fool, but I'm a little less foolish. I think over time, understanding what matters. Which, again, I got glimpses of when I was in Tenerife. Mm. Simple life, community. I remember after 2016, when I left London, and I would go back and see friends like Sam or Tom or Kim, like some of my dearest friends. The conversation around, I just want to live a simple life, was already happening. But I didn't know where that would be or how it would happen. But I remember already six years ago, like, I just want to do what we did in Tenerife. Like, that's it. And so kind of letting go of many of the, I guess, ideas that I had around success or what I thought would make me happy or... I found here the simple things that make my life good. I don't need much more. So it's, I think, being honest with myself, like, what do you want? Like, what do you actually want? do you want to be famous? Okay, cool. Do that. Do you want to be at peace? All right, then do that. Whichever your, the priority is, be clear on that. And I just feel very, I don't know, especially during this last 2 years that the world was crazy, to find this little pocket of community and simplicity and nature was everything. And it might not be forever all the time, but to know that this is possible in itself, yeah, once you try it and you realize I don't need much more, then I think happiness comes from simplifying a lot.
Yeah, I can very much relate to that, especially you, when you talk about Costa Rica, this place here especially, Santa Teresa, with so much community, people who are open to life. Curious and still in touch with nature, admire the simple living. And talking about being open to life, you go on tour with Sam Garrett in May in Costa Rica, and the tour is called Stay Open to Life.
It is super exciting because we've been friends for many years. We actually met at that vegan cafe in 2013
in London. So romantic.
Yeah, we just met. We were working on the same cafe. We connected. We were both singer-songwriters. We both loved the same artist. Yeah. And so we've had this vision for a while, and he's coming now in like 10 days. We have a few shows already booked in. And yeah, really excited just to get to travel with my friend and do what we both love doing, like even individually to them. When we do it together, it's the best.
And the title of the tour, Stay Open to Life, what does it mean to you to stay open to life?
Stay open to life, it's become a huge, a really important mantra. Stay open to life means, like, I don't know what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong and what's supposed to, like, I don't know. Meaning when it comes to why certain things happen. Like the first few lines of the song say, only a fool thinks he knows why some doors open and some will close. So many times in my life, something happens and I label it, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is a very bad thing. Or this is a really good thing. And I have no idea, because somewhere down the line, you know, is the yin yang. Something that seemed to be a bad thing is a good thing. And so staying open in just trusting that there's something more at work than my own little mind that's trying to figure everything out. Because I've tried to do it my way and it's messy. And even when I think I know what I want, then I get it and I'm like, oh, I don't actually want it. You know? So
can I give it back?
Can I give it back? I thought it would be different. Like all this. So stay open to life has become this practice of just flowing with life with an open heart and trust that we're not just like lost in a stormy sea. There is some magic at work. There is, if you tune into it, like it's always present, but the moment you kind of tune into that, call it whatever you want, then things unfold and things happen. And even if something quote unquote bad seemed to happen, if you can take a step back and put it in context and trusting, like, if I think of every time in my life that I felt like this is the end, this is the worst thing that could happen, I'll never recover, I was fine every time. Mm-hmm. So a little less drama and just stay open to life with the curiosity of someone who's like watching a really interesting movie. You know, like, I wonder what happens next. Yeah. And you kind of, you know who you are and you do what you're doing and you know what you're bringing and your service and whatever it is, but then you kind of let go. Because like, as much as we like to think, I don't think we're in the driver's seat. You know, I don't want to be in the driver's seat. Yeah. I'd rather, like, if you trust the driver, and the driver could be whatever you see, like, I'm not saying God or like whatever you think, whatever you think is driving this whole reality. Whatever is growing a flower and shining the sun and flowing the river and beating my heart, it's also like making this whole life happen. And so I'd rather trust that, giving a little bit of input wherever I can, than thinking I'm in charge and living life with this like tension of like, okay, I need to get to this point by this point, and if this doesn't happen, then I'm a failure. And it removes a lot of pressure and stress.
And it's also sometimes a fine line between giving some input, as you said,
of course,
you know, and still creating, and sometimes even maybe being in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, knowing when to let go of the steering wheel, trusting that it's going to drive exactly the way that is not the way that you want it to drive to, but where it's meant to be, whatever that means.
Yeah. And I mean, in the last year alone, I've had a couple really powerful experiences that put me in this place where I am now, where I feel completely open to life. When I came to Costa Rica in May, I came to meet up with my, at the time, partner to be here for 2 weeks and then go to the States together. And at the airport, you probably know the story, but at the airport, as I was getting on the plane, they told me my visa had been canceled. So I couldn't go to the States. I couldn't be with the person that I was about to move in with, or the idea was, let's try to really make this happen. I don't have a visa. I can't get another visa because it's COVID and all the embassies are closed. And I had this whole vision of what my life was going to look like that was just taken away. Like, you can't go to the States. You can't even reapply to get another visa.
Like, just like that.
That's
no
it.
Way.
Okay. And we don't even tell you why. Crushed me. Like, I was so in emotional pain that I made myself sick for a week. I was in San Jose, like, sick. And I didn't know what it was, but I was just sick. Fast forward a couple months, my relationship ended. And even though we still have so much love for each other, like, we understand why and we knew it was the right thing. And I found this place. And I'm happy. So from something extremely painful came one of the biggest blessings of my life. And I could tell you so many other stories of just life putting a little creative touch. Like, you want to get there? Let me take you around this, like, back road. Or let me... And that's what, you know? And sometimes I wonder, if I had gotten what I wanted, if I had gone to the States and moved there, and if I was still dating that girl, if I was, would I be happier than I am now? Probably not.
Would you even know?
Would I even know?
Because exactly. This reality
wouldn't
exist.
Wouldn't have been a thing. But I would still probably be thinking about it, because when I first came to Costa Rica and I was still with her, with Caitlin, she, like, there were moments when I was like, do you want to maybe live in Costa Rica? This place is kind of amazing. But she's very rooted in the States with her family, so it wasn't aligned in that way. Mm. But yeah, I want, maybe I'd be in the States doing something, but maybe still thinking about, like, I just want to put my feet in the sand. And so stay open to life. And it came, by the way, I was in Puerto Viejo with Sam, still... I had just kind of maybe like a week before or 2 weeks before I had been told I couldn't fly to the States. So I was still really confused and really sad, and my relationship was suffering from it. And I was just having a conversation with a homeless guy outside of a little soda or a little like store. I think he was just buying some water. And I'm talking to him, and he's a really happy homeless guy. At least he looked homeless, but he was sitting on the floor, and I think he was asking for some money, and we just having a little chat. And he could tell that I was not happy, or that I was confused. I was there was a heavy vibe. And as I talked to him for maybe 5 minutes, as we are biking away, he got up and screamed at me in the middle of the street, "Stay open to life." And I had, like, even now, just saying it, like, full body goosebumps, so much so that, like, I almost lost control of my bike, because it was like, it honestly felt like the universe saying, hey, like, just stay open. Don't worry. There's something really cool just around the corner. Just stay open to it. And I remember that time I said, okay, I have to write a song about that. And it took a few months, and then eventually I wrote the song, but it became a big part and something that, whether it's just the line or the whole song, so many people seem to resonate with this idea of staying open to life. And so I love to keep singing it as long as it you know, can have a positive impact.
Do you think it's a song that you would like to play?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Feel free and share it. I'm just trying to... Well, the microphone should be fine. We have my microphone here, so okay. It's probably...
Is it going going through that? Oh,
no, it's in this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A little sip.
Yeah. Sip of water. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, brother.
Yeah, man.
Beautiful. My new favorite song there. Wow.
Yeah, I like this song too.
Especially the line, you don't think you can carry on, you are carried instead.
Mm. Yeah.
So often we feel like, oh my God, I can't stand this anymore. I can't carry on.
Yeah.
So full of doubt, so full of fear and heaviness. And suddenly when you give and then you open up, like you give your trust to that greater picture unfolding, you realize you are carried all the way. There's no need to worry.
Yeah. There was a quote. I don't remember if it was Einstein or someone else, but they said, you have to decide if you think you believe in a benevolent universe or in a malevolent universe. And whether or not the universe can be either or.
So a universe that actually serves you well and everything happens in your favor.
Yeah.
Or it's the opposite.
Or a bad universe. They're just messing with you and, you know, you drop your keys in the thing just because... Whether or not the universe can be good or bad, benevolent or malevolent, whatever you decide is the reality that you'll experience. And I've been reading some books recently where it's almost scary to realize how much responsibility we have in the creation of our experience of reality. Because stuff will happen outside to an extent we can't stop reality from happening. But then how I see it, how I experience it, and as you're saying, the moment you trust, the moment you allow yourself to be like, hey, I don't know, or I can't do it, or whatever it is, then you see that you are carried. And there's one of the books I read recently, it says we should spend more time like a man floating, being carried by a river. You know? This idea that what happens if you let go for just for a little bit? And again, you still put the input, like you still have to go to work.
Or you still have to keep your head above
water. Like this, a great meditation teacher called Jack Kornfield, he said, after you get enlightened, you still have to do your laundry. Like you still, you know?
Yeah.
But at least this sense of, I am not alone, a little me in a giant universe with no idea and no control. Because living like that is exhausting.
Yeah.
And yeah. So almost as an experiment. Stay open to life. See what happens.
That's beautiful. Now I also know how I will call the podcast episode.
Yeah.
Now I have the title. I didn't know before, but
easy.
During COVID and in the past 2 years, your Instagram account kind of exploded because many of your videos went viral. Mm-hmm. You started to record some songs. You called them the COVID-19s.
COVID-19s, yes.
And you recently also released an EP called I Won't Comply, which is very highly recommended to listen to, by the way. So all your music is on Spotify. Oh, some of your music.
Four albums are on Spotify, Apple Music, all of that. And then one acoustic album is only on Bandcamp, but I will share it soon.
RomanMusic.com. And I'll definitely put the music and the links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But where I wanted to go with this was actually that many of your videos went viral because what you just shared, this ease that you approach life with, this flowy, you know, be the man that flows down in the river. You know, I think that was exactly what so many people needed to hear in times of in times of struggle, in times of uncertainty, in times of losing control of very essential aspects of their lives.
Fully.
And then there is this dude in Costa Rica and spreading so much happy vibes and inspiring people to actually look at it in a different way. And I know it's easier to do that in Costa Rica than in some, you know, European city where you have lockdowns in winter and everything. But I still believe that this choice that you just talked about, how you create your experience of your everyday reality, that is up to each and every one of us, no matter where we are or with whom we are.
Completely. And funny enough, the first four COVID-19s that went viral, I was still in Italy. I was still locked down, living on my own, and then when I came here, the last thing, three videos. But yeah, I grew up with a poster hanging in my parents' bathroom or in their house in Rome, and it's a photo of an elephant under a waterfall. I think it's a real photo. It just looks like an elephant kind of sitting under this waterfall, and it looks like the elephant is smiling, whatever. And I believe it's a quote by Oscar Wilde, and it says, "Life is too important to be taken seriously." Mm-hmm. And I grew up with that for many years, so I think it's like deeply instilled in my brain. But fully, it's been actually a really good exercise for my ego of musician, because. And I'll tell you what the exercise was, but when I started releasing those songs, the most common message that I received, and I think I received thousands, because they went, 7 videos went viral, were people saying, thank you for bringing some lightheartedness to something that's just been heavy on so many of us, or thank you for making me laugh, or even just thank you for helping me realize there are so many people that feel the same way, and so it doesn't feel as heavy. And the good exercise has been that after these songs went viral and many people asked me to record them as an EP so that they could be on Spotify and blah, 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 I recorded them and I put them on. By now, because I'm censored and shadow banned and all this stuff on social media, a fraction of the people that asked me about it is seeing or knows that the EP is out. So the musician that wants to be seen and celebrated is thinking, oh shit, like I did this whole thing and now no one is seeing it. And then the other part of me that is just singing because that's what I do, thinks those songs came out when they were needed the most. And they went viral on this platform because that's what needed to happen, because that's how most people find you. It doesn't matter if people listen to it now. And so part of me also thinks, like, I also don't want to sing about, like, part of me wants to leave it behind. Mm-hmm. It happened. Hopefully we can all forget about it. Mm-hmm. So to know that there's a creation. Sometimes creations come, as you say, at a specific moment to play a specific role, but then I can let it go because it's not about me. It's about hopefully this thing that came through me can make someone else's day a little bit better. So it's good to keep, you know, my ego in check instead of it like, ah, I wish they were getting all these numbers. Like, yeah. No, when they were supposed to help, they did what they had to do.
What was, from your perspective, the main reason why your music has been censored and shadow banned from platforms?
Well, I mean, Facebook and Instagram, which is Facebook, they have, you know, put in place really strict guidelines. Basically, they said, this is the truth. And everything that it's not perfectly aligned, it's misinformation. And I've been super vocal about how I feel from the beginning. And so that... and also probably the seeing how much traffic there was around my page. I don't know exactly, but one day I woke up and most of my posts and videos had that little thing at the bottom, like COVID-19 information, make sure you click here. So just being under that radar is not good, because they don't want people to hear any other version of...
You were a threat to their version of the truth.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so on one hand, it's very flattering that they would see me as a threat. And the other is a bummer because, you know, now I'm going on tour and there's a lot of people that probably won't see that because my content is not being shared with my audience. But at the same time, it doesn't matter.
And I'm pretty sure that all the places you'll go to with Sam will be packed. I have no doubt about that.
I'm sure it'll be fine, because yeah, we're doing what we can to put it together, organize it, promote it. There's such an amazing community here, so even just word of mouth is going to be be fine.
That's so cool. Ricardo, we could go on like this for hours. What would be one of the main messages, or maybe the most important message, if there is such, that you want to deliver with your music, that you want to bring forth to people, that you want to inspire human beings with?
It's a three-part. It's a three-part message. Because I try to, I guess because as a songwriter, it's nice to get concepts in a simple, concise way. But this is going to sound silly. But I often thought, if someone asked me that question, what do I say? It's a big question.
Right.
So my three points that I try to live by and put in my music and share as much as possible. One is, be a friend. This is a line that's been with me. I got a tattoo, be a friend, and it's something that I heard many years ago. And to me, it sounds like love your neighbor that Jesus used to say. But love your neighbor sounds like a big responsibility. Mm. Like, I don't love my neighbor. He's an idiot or whatever it is. But be a friend. So be a friend to yourself, to people, to nature, like to act as a friend would. That's one. The second one is keep playing. It's a big one that I keep telling myself. Obviously, music is called playing music, but just in general, to keep that childlike spirit. Just keep, whatever it is, like I have maybe the spirit of a beginner who doesn't have these crazy expectations. Just keep playing. And then we've said it many times, but stay open to life. Mm-hmm. These three have become my mantras, my anchors. Be a friend, keep playing, and stay open to life. There's probably other good stuff to share, but I feel like these three are a good starting point. Mm. And I think the music then speaks for itself, because I could maybe I write a song with an intention and someone hears it and they receive it in a different way. So I trust the songs are working their magic whether or not I'm involved. But as far as the message that, oops, sorry, I touched the microphone. There's a story of someone who goes to Gandhi. Gandhi's on a train and they ask Gandhi, what's your message? What's your, like, so that I can bring it to my people? Or like, what's your, and Gandhi scribbled on a piece of paper and handed it as the train was leaving. And the piece of paper said, my life is my message. Mm-hmm. So I could sing all day about be a friend. Mm. But if I'm not being a friend to myself and others, it's pointless. And I struggled in the past where I wasn't feeling very loving or open or happy. And I was like, how can I go out and sing be a friend or stay open to life if I'm like not friendly and not open?
Practice what you preach.
Right? Exactly. So I try to embody that, keep playing, stay open, be a friend, and then the songs kind of do their thing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Give us a little idea where, I know you stay open to life, you know, you flow with it, but still, I guess there is some vision, some maybe deeper desires or wishes where you want to go with your music. Right now you can live off of it, right? It's you're performing in different places, events, you go on tour, you have your Patreon account, by the way, if somebody wants to support your music, you have your Patreon account on your website.
For sure.
But is there anything you want to accomplish with your music in the future, or do you just flow with it and see what happens?
I mean, the vision is just for the music to be heard by as many people as possible.
Yeah.
But truly, I don't know if it's just the moment or if it's just something that I've lost. I don't know. I don't think I have goals. There's tension when there's goals. And I'm not saying goals are bad. I'm saying right now, like, I know I'm going on tour. And I know that this summer I'm going to Europe to see my family. And potentially I can do another tour in Portugal. And I know that I'm, you know, inshallah, coming back to Costa Rica and building a life here. But as far as, like, goals or missions or it seems to me the best thing I can do is just to keep playing. And so I don't know. I really don't know. I know that I have two albums to record. I know that I have songs people want to on Spotify. I know that I want to do videos. Like there's a lot of these little projects, but I am more focused on the short term. And because if this is going to grow into a beautiful plant with lots of flowers and fruit, is because I'm watering it today. And so I'm just trying to do that and not worry too much about what happens.
Ricardo, thank you so much for this very inspiring conversation.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful music.
Thank you
for being you, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Good questions, too.
Thank you very much.